This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we have two guest co-hosts, or one guest co-host and the panelists today. We have Don Ecker returning from the last 2 weeks, and we also have one of our longtime listeners and forum regulars, the one, the only Michael Allen.
Yep, okay. That's me.
You're the only, right?
I'm the only Michael Allen on the forum, apparently, which is kind of weird because, you know, Michael Allen is a very, Google my name and you're going to see hundreds and thousands of them. So that's how long I've been in the forums, is that I was able to get my name early on.
Well, that's the only way to do it. There are other ways of doing it, but it requires either dismissing somebody in the forums, firing them or banning them or something
sure.
like that, or negotiating with them or paying them off.
Right.
You know, grab your name. It's a new thing we can do here. We'll take like a third. You want to change your name in the forums, you contact somebody whose name you'd like. I'll work with you to get them to switch, but whatever you pay, I get a third of.
It's a Paracast Plus privilege. I mean, you contact the other guy, they go, I don't really like my name that much. I want to go for a handle. And somebody else says, nah, they take it. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's very interesting. We're going to bring our listeners up to date on something that Don and I talked about for about 40 minutes on the After the Paracast show, which is part of Paracast Plus, and that is the death of Art Bell on Friday the 13th. Now, I gather, Michael, you were a regular listener of Bell's.
Yes, I was. I listened to a lot of stuff. I mean, he was, I have to tell you, a lot of times I would go to sleep listening to that guy, and I'd wake up the next morning listening to that guy. I mean, there were many days. It didn't matter who was the guest. I mean, I just liked hearing his voice on the radio. There was something, you know, mesmerizing about it. And I say that being the kind of person who's highly skeptical of anything that's paranormal. I mean, as you would imagine. And I still loved listening to him try to, you know, the way he would talk to his guests and the way that he would tell the stories. I mean, it was fun. It was entertaining. And I have to say, I really miss the guy.
Dean Radin, you've been around this world for a while. Were you ever on Coast to Coast with Art Bell?
Oh, yes, many times.
What was your feeling, reaction to him, now that we know he's no longer with us?
Well, nobody lasts forever, but he was certainly unique. And both the way that he interviewed people, it's true, he really would draw you in by just the nature of his voice. But he was also quite informed about what he was speaking about and did a magical thing which allowed anybody to talk about anything. And somehow everyone felt respected in the process. So that was really quite a talent.
That was very difficult. And that's probably in some ways unlike the original pioneer in paranormal talk radio, Long John Neville. Because Long John could be real sarcastic and real nasty sometimes, depending on his mood of the evening. Dean Radin,
really?
We're so glad
really?
That you finally come on the Paracast, and you have a new book out called Real Magic, which is subtitled Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science, and a Guide to the Secret Power of the Universe. And for listeners who aren't familiar with your work, maybe we should talk a little bit about your background. How did you become interested in magic?
Well, who's not interested in magic? I mean, if you look at the popularity of magical themes in entertainment, you'll find almost every other movie and television show and book has something to do with magic in it. And this is not a new phenomenon. It's been around as long as there's been fiction. So I'm interested in the same things that everyone else is interested in. Perhaps the only difference is that since I was trained as a scientist, I, of course, approached the topic from a completely skeptical perspective. But skepticism doesn't necessarily mean you're going to deny everything. It simply means you're going to doubt what you read until you have some reason to believe it. So I've been studying this topic and related topics now for 42 years, and my conclusion, after lots of experiments and lots of literature, is that magic is actually real. And it's not Harry Potter, and it's not Harry Houdini. It's the real deal.
Dean, let me ask you a question, if I may. Now, you're talking about the practice of actual magic via ritual with a cause and effect, or are we talking about a showman's magic, sleight of hand? You're talking about an actual working of magical rituals and techniques?
I'm not talking about Harry Houdini. That's my character, which says it's not stage magic. It's not illusions.
Okay.
What I'm talking about are three practices. One is divination. This is part of the long esoteric tradition. That the esoteric traditions, I'm talking about both in the East and the West, they talk about three practices. So divination is gazing into a mirror, the use of tarot cards, that sort of thing.
I Ching?
The I Ching, yes. The second category is something I call force of will, which is manifesting things in the physical world, mentally manifesting stuff. The third category is theurgy, which is more the way that magic is typically portrayed in fiction, which has to do with evoking spirits.
Communication with other intelligences might be the modern way to think about that, I suppose.
Yes.
That's
another way to put it. Traditionally, you imagine people in a pentagram that are with a lot of smoke and fire and sex and rock and roll, trying to create entities or evoke entities.
Have you witnessed any of these practices firsthand, Dean?
Well, see, that's the thing. I want to separate from the fictional way that these practices have been performed from what actually happens. So the way that I do it, being a scientist, I've studied these kinds of phenomena in laboratory experiments, not just me, but many colleagues around the world. So we're using scientific methods to study the essence of these methods. So divination, for example. Divination, cast into scientific terms, would be called phenomena like clairvoyance and precognition. That's right. What those phenomena are. So there are plenty of experiments looking at those kinds of effects in a laboratory. So what we can say is that based on those experiments, that the notion of divination is true, that it can be done. Now, as to whether a crystal ball is the thing that's necessary or not, or gazing in a mirror or whatever, we're not answering those questions. We're answering simply, is the phenomenon itself plausible based on the evidence? The answer is yes. The same goes for force of will. Can we say that the idea of mentally manipulating the physical world is real based on what we see in the laboratory? The answer is yes. And the same goes for theurgy, that there's evidence of some kind of communication with something that doesn't appear to be living.
Well, when you're talking about practices like this, you invariably, at one time or another, I'm sure, will be confronted by fundamentalists. Now, in the Christian Hebrew Bible, there are prohibitions against these things. Have you encountered that? And how do you answer critics that would come at you from that angle?
I haven't had any criticism from people of that ilk. You're absolutely right, though, that there are very severe prohibitions in the Catholic Catechism, for example, that you don't do these things. But what I've tried to point out in my book is that the suppression of esoteric ideas by the Church, mainly the Catholic Church, but lots of religious authorities, they have suppressed what they would consider to be pagan or heretical practices, not because they didn't believe in them. They did believe. They still do believe in these kinds of practices, but they're considered heretical because they threaten the authority.
Okay, Dean Radin joins Michael Allen, Don Ecker, and Gene Steinberg. And next week, we'll be talking to Nick Redfern about Slender Man. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Dean Radin. Our guest co-host is Don Ecker. Our guest panelist is Michael Allen. We'll have to divvy up the identities there in a moment. In the meantime, Michael, you had a response to what Dean was saying.
Well, no, I was about to agree with him. I mean, if you were to deal with divination or any kind of, even if it weren't statistically significant, if it's something that somebody could draw on to, you know, and I'm saying this, by the way, Dean, just to remove the psychic element, that whole, just even without any of that, if somebody believes something to, you know, like a certain type of method of divination, that they would basically undercut the authority. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know that that necessarily means that phenomenon or there is reality to it, except that maybe a person believes it. And because they believe it, they're going to, well, it's kind of like a Rorschach blot. You know, you see, or you look at a wall, which is something I do every day, and I see a picture or I see an image in randomness, because of evolutionarily speaking, I'm going to see patterns in randomness that are meaningful to me. And I think Jung approached this from that angle. I mean, Jung was heavily involved in astrology and the I Ching and other forms of divination.
Sure. Yeah. There, and any kind of psychic phenomena, there are many possible explanations for the experiences that people report. So when we do an experiment in a laboratory, the important thing is to develop a way to exclude all of the mundane explanations and just leave the one that you're interested in. So that's what we do in the experiments. Otherwise, why bother to do the experiment at all?
Right.
To get back for a second to how fundamentalists respond to this, they actually split into two camps. And one camp says they're actually quite happy about it, because they basically would say, I told you magic was real. Like, just take one example of the Catholic ceremony of the Eucharist. That is explicitly a magical practice. It's transmutation of one thing into another thing. And it's only allowed to be done by priests. And if somebody else does it, it's heretical. So the idea that the phenomenon is real, they like that idea. Then there's another cast of people who really, really don't like it, because they believe it completely, but they've been told that it's demonic. So I get it from both sides, both positive and negative.
It sounds to me like it's politics to an extent. If you don't like something, you could believe in and say, oh, it's heretical, it's this, it's blasphemous.
Oh, yeah. No, very clearly. It's completely clear from a historical perspective that this had to do with power, social power arrangements, as to what got declared heretical versus acceptable.
Dean, with the risk of sounding like I'm making a pun, you hit a buzzword that I want to question you a little bit on, demonic. Now, with your research and your working on what you consider to be real and actual magical practices, do you give credence to the idea of a negative influence, a negative force, a demonic force, as opposed to things like the forces of light? And the reason I ask that, there have been an incredible amount of emphasis in recent times on the idea of demonic possession, exorcisms, and what have you, a lot of it emanating from Roman Catholicism. Where do you come down on that?
My guess is that that heaven and hell are human constructs, as are demons. So in a given religious context, if somebody seems to be psychotic, then they will interpret that as a demon. It's something that doesn't seem like it's human, but there are lots of mental illnesses that can end up looking that way. So I take a very secular perspective in these kinds of phenomena.
And I would follow that up with we've actually named in computer science, we name programs that run in the background that do things that the kernel's not necessarily always aware of or is not really keeping track of. We call them daemons, and that's the same word from demonic, which is mean it's like a little circuit that runs in the background that does something, and from a consciousness perspective, as somebody who has a complete or thinks they have a complete understanding of their own consciousness, doesn't realize, and Jung would call them they're called complexes, but in modern cognitive terms, you know, cognitive science, they would call them circuits. Basically, it's something that runs in the background that you're not fully aware of, but it comes out, it sublimates into your ego occasionally, which is to say your serial processor, the part that is conscious or is aware of something. I'm mixing a lot of theories together to explain, but the word demonic, I think, has a very, very technical term when you actually look at it from a point of view of a human brain and how it works, how subsystems work, and how the background processes, like, for instance, the one that beats your heart. I mean, do you actually beat your heart? Does your heart beat, you know? No, it just happens. But your brain sends signals to do that. And that's something that people forget about, is that there are a lot of daemons. And so a demonic, you know, something that emerges from within the subconscious may actually be something that for a long time ran in the background and then suddenly sublimates itself up to your awareness, if that makes any sense. And I'm sorry, I went kind of long-winded there, but that's how I understand it.
So, Dean, in other words, you totally discount the idea, regardless of what you call it, of a negative influence?
No, I wouldn't discount it. I would say that, at least as far as the evidence goes, that we don't see independent evidence of something like that. But I think, as Michael was saying, that the level of conscious awareness that most of us have is the tip of the iceberg. We all have self-defeating unconscious things going on that cause people to drink and smoke too much, for example, or to eat too much. Well, consciously, you wouldn't want to do that because you know it's very bad. But people do it anyway. And so one could then simply say that what we refer to, or what a religious person would refer to as a demon made me do it, can just be thought of as portions of your own consciousness that are below the level of your awareness.
Yeah, and that has been experimentally proven. I mean, it doesn't really, I mean, a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old will understand that, you explain to them what they do. Did they know what they're doing? No, they don't know what they're doing because most of what they're doing is automatic. But when you point out to my daughter, who's 8 years old, if you point out to her, why did you do it that way? And she goes, I don't know. And then she'll think about it and she'll say, well, and then she'll come up with some kind of post facto explanation for why she decided to do something.
Yes, something the devil made me do it. We're going to break here.
Why?
We're going to break here. When we'll have more with Dean Radin, Michael Allen, Don Ecker. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation
reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com. Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue with Dean Radin, the book he has out, and we'll get more directly into the book. It's called Real Magic, not the stage magic, not the pretend magic, but the real stuff. And we have Michael Allen and Don Ecker joining us. Next week on the Paracast, we're going to talk about Slender Man with Nick Redfern. Wow. Can't wait for that. Michael, pick up, please.
Yeah, so when we're talking about the devil made me do it, I mean, that's something that, you know, when I go back and I look at, first of all, one thing I will, you know, full disclosure, I don't believe in any of the myths. I mean, not in the way that they're taught, you know, with the, I think that when you look at something like in every system of people who are consuming resources, you're going to have people that have the resources and those that don't. In every biological system, you're going to have organisms that have something and some that do not have that same thing, and they're all fighting for the same resources. It's not so much about good and evil. And I think a lot of people really lose their minds and I think lose their track when they talk about good and evil. All of this is beyond good and evil. It's about who's at the top, who has what the resources, or what has the resources, if you want to go that route, you know, with the biological entity and those that do not. And I think that where we get this dichotomy of good and evil really comes out of that conflict over resources that are limited. So that's my point on the demonic. You know, so anybody who's on the winning team is going to see the opposing team as demonic. It's the same thing. It's just like a football game. I mean, anybody who's on, you know, rooting for Dallas Cowboys versus the Patriots, it's not about good and evil. It's about something that it's one thing. It's one prize. that is taken and the other is left out. I think when you talk about science, you got to go beyond good and evil. I think you got to go beyond demonic versus angels. You got to think of them as opposing forces that are working against, you know, trying to accomplish a common goal. Does that make sense?
Dean?
Sure. Yeah, that's clearly what the history shows. That is true with magic as well. Your magic is fine. The other person's magic is horrific and heretical. And there's many, many examples all throughout history where there are basically battle magic happening between people with different cultures, different ideas, sometimes even within the same religious sect, but just very subtle differences. People will get all angry at each other. So it's just part of the human condition.
Yeah, and the human condition involves scarcity. Scarcity leads to conflict. Conflict leads to, you know, well.
Yeah, it's either real, it could be real scarcity or imagined scarcity, but the
right.
point is well taken, that we're essentially aggressive primates. If you ever watch the monkey tribe trying to negotiate on something, there's a lot of screaming that goes on. So humans are not that different.
It sounds like you just visited Washington, D.C.
Well, yeah, that's, we see that on the news every night. So one of the things I'd like to clarify here is that there, if you go into the metaphysical section of a bookstore and you look up magic, you're going to find tons and tons of books that are about magical practice, magical lore, and so on. This book is very different because I don't like to write books that you could already find a book on that topic. I'm only interested in writing books that I can't find somewhere else. So what's different about this is that this really is looking at these magical traditions through the lens of science, because that's basically all I know. That's what I do.
Well, that's good. I have to say, from somebody who spent a long time reading, because I was interested in the occult, I read a lot of treatises like the Hermetic Museum. I read Francis Barrett's The Magus, which is, by the way, a plagiarized of Henry Cornelius Agrippa. I read a lot of treatises on alchemy, and I have to say, a lot of it just it's very repetitive.
Right.
It's like they're repeating the same message over and over again, or they're trying to, I don't know what they were doing. I mean, I spent years studying that, and it was a dead end.
So in real magic, you'll find something different. And the way that I could have easily have spun this in the same direction that other people have, which is mostly in the direction of how would you practice something, like how would you use affirmations or how would you do a ceremony or that sort of thing. But I'm not that interested in those. I'm more interested in what can we know that is likely to be true with high confidence. And that's, of course, one of the joys of science, is that you can eventually learn things with high confidence. And so of the people I asked to endorse the book, I have two Nobel laureates, one in physics, one in chemistry, the president of the American Statistical Association, program director from the National Science Foundation, winner of the Arcturus Medal, which is an astrophysics medal from the National Academy of Sciences, and professors of physics and neuroscience and on and on and on. So the reason why you have people in prominent positions who've won major prizes in science who are endorsing this book is because they recognize that, first of all, it's a book about science, but more importantly, it's really about paradigms in science. Like, how do we by addressing the topic of magic, we don't want to go backwards in time. We're not regressing to the past, but we're looking forward to the future.
I agree with that. That's a good way to, you know, but the problem I have, and the one thing that I've spent some time, I watched some of your videos and I've watched some of the, you know, the discussions that, you know, the lectures that you gave on it. And I have to, you know, just, I'm going to roll it all up into one question here. And, because in your paper, you quote, "It is difficult for a matter-of-fact physicist to accept the view that the substratum, of everything is of a mental character. Sir Arthur Eddington, The Nature of the Physical World. And you have a few other quotes about, but I have to wonder, what do you think about the difference, you know, because I'm a monist, and I wonder, you know, with the physical and the mental substances, when people start to think in those terms, are they really just going backward in time? Because I thought that that was settled. And by the way, I don't think it's settled from a classical physicalistic point of view. I think it's just not a settled problem, but I don't think that there are two things. In other words, I don't think that we have a physical and mental, a substance that interacts through some kind of magical way. And I'm using that term not in the way you use it, but I wonder what are your thoughts about the fundamental ontology that these people, that people will, what are they thinking about when they read your paper? Are they thinking that consciousness is a different substance, or what are you trying to tell them? In other words.
Well, actually, that is a key theme in the book. It's about scientific worldview, and I agree that a monistic perspective makes a lot more sense than dualism. So what it comes down to is, are you going to view the world purely in materialistic terms, or are we forced by the nature of these phenomena to consider something larger? So this means that we have to start talking about philosophy. Okay, so philosophy in 15 seconds. not possible. So my only response to that would be that you have to talk about philosophy of science when you start dealing with things like magic. But you need to do it in a way that's not going to put people off who don't like philosophy. And that was one of the challenges in this book.
We're going to have more challenges from our benefactors, and then more to come with Dean Radin, and we're featuring Michael Allen and Don Ecker. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Back at the Paracast with our guest, Dean Radin, author of Real Magic. We want to remind you that we have a special version of the show where we cut out all the network ads. We also give you a second radio show after the Paracast. All you have to do is subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Prices start at just $1.49 a week. Cheaper than Starbucks, cheaper than even the coffee at the Circle K convenience store, if you even know what that is. Dean Radin, I want to just ask you, because we started with this and we never got into it, could you describe to our listeners what you do for a living, because it's so relevant?
Oh, well, I'm chief scientist at the Institute of Noetic Sciences. Noetic is a term that roughly means intuition. It comes from the Greek root word, nous, and nous means to know, but it means to know with certainty, but without knowing how you know. So it's like intuition. So our institute was started by Edgar Mitchell, the Apollo 14 astronaut, who was the sixth man on the moon. And on the way back to the Earth, he had a mystical experience, which was quite surprising to him. And since he was a Navy pilot and a MIT engineer and an astronaut, he wanted to understand what is a mystical experience, because they don't train about that at MIT or in the Navy. So given that he was from that tradition, he decided to use the tools and techniques of science to tackle mystical and psychic experiences, simply to find out what can we know about those things from a scientific perspective. So the Institute is almost 45 years old from the very beginning. Our mission has been to explore the frontiers of consciousness using the tools of science. So I'm now chief scientist at this institute, and that's what we do.
Dean, how did he describe his mystical experience?
Well, Edgar said, the way he puts it is, well, he put it, he passed away a few years ago.
Right.
He was sitting in the space capsule as it was coming back towards the Earth, and it was rotating, so it didn't cook one side of the capsule too much. He was seeing in succession the Earth, the Moon, the Sun, and then stars, again and again and again. and having a few minutes to have the window seat with nothing to do, he was simply contemplating this miracle of being out in the blackness of space and seeing the Earth, the moon, the stars, and so on. And he felt a peculiar sense of unity first with the Earth, because when you look back at the Earth from space, it looks like a bright blue ball with a very thin atmosphere. So the envelope of the atmosphere is really thin, and it looks fragile, like a bubble in space. And so he thought, well, everything we know about our history, about ourselves, about everything is on this little fragile blue ball out there in space. That sparked another idea that everybody on Earth, all of the humans, everything on Earth was made at one point out of stardust. That's what we are. So we are sentient pieces of stardust sitting out in the middle of nowhere in space, very far away from any other place that we would consider to be suitable for being home. So that this was the beginning of an expansive feeling, which turned into what he later described as samadhi. So this is what a yogi would say is a mystical experience where you feel one with everything.
Did he not claim to attempt an ESP experiment on the way back from the moon or going to the moon? How did that turn out?
Yeah, he did that on the way to the moon. The original idea was that there would be a group of people on Earth who would try to guess what cards he was looking at, like an ESP card test. And the timing was such that he couldn't do it at the pre-planned time because he had to be involved in other things. So rather than being a real-time clairvoyance test, it turned out to be a precognition test. The results of that test showed significant psi missing, which means that the final analysis was such that people were not significantly hitting the targets, they were significantly missing the targets. So from a significant in this sense means statistically speaking, it wasn't a chance outcome, but it wasn't in the outcome in a positive sense, it was in a negative sense.
Now, during the 1970s through the 1980s, the Department of Defense and the DIA and other intelligence agencies engaged in a practice now today known as remote viewing. Have you folks ever taken a look at those practices? And, you know, this, I would think, would seem to be right up your alley.
Well, I was a member of that program back then.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So, yes, we've looked at remote viewing in some detail. The way that I talk about this in the book on magic is I could go through the details of how you do experiments and what the results are and all the rest. And I've done that in previous books. And I decided in this book that since I've already written about it, I didn't want to write about it again. So I addressed it in a different way. One of the people that I met on that project is the chair of the statistics department at the University of California at Irvine. And she was also the president of the American Statistical Association. Statistics, of course, is the scientific discipline that analyzes data. So who better to ask than the president of the American Statistical Association about her opinion of remote viewing research? Jessica Utz is her name, and she did as the president of the American Statistical Association, every year the president gets to give a talk to the collected group of professional statisticians from around the world. So a couple of years ago, she was in Chicago, she gave her presidential address, and as part of that address, she talked about her experience in evaluating the remote viewing data. And what she basically says is that from a statistical perspective, when you look at that data, there is no question that these phenomena are real. So the way that I respond then to someone who doesn't know what to think about it, doesn't know about the data, I would simply say, look, if the president of the organization that whose mission is to analyze data says straight out that this stuff is real, that if you have a complaint about that, you need to talk to a statistician. Because from that perspective, it is as real as anything else that we know.
Well, back in the 1990s, I was giving a talk back on the East Coast in New Jersey on some lunar phenomena research that I was involved in. And a gentleman came down from New York to see the presentation, and I had a chance to meet him, and we then developed a friendship, Ingo Swann. Now, as it turned out, this was the man credited with designing the protocols for the military intelligence remote viewing program. Did you know, Ingo? And I got to tell you, Dean, that had I never met him, I would have had probably some doubts about the process, but that guy convinced me to the nth degree.
Yes, I knew Ingo. Ingo was very talented. He had his opinions, which are quite strong, about ways of training these phenomena. But, yeah, Ingo was at SRI when I was there.
Yeah. Okay.
So I would guess that people at the level of Ingo's natural talent is probably on the order of about maybe one in 10,000 people, just naturally talented like that. So that actually, if you figure that into the 7 or 8 billion people on the planet right now, there's actually quite a few out there who have very, very good natural talents in remote viewing, whether they realize it or not.
He has some extremely, you're totally correct. He has some very strong opinions. And of course, one of the things that he's noted for today among most people that may not be familiar with other aspects to Ingo Swann was the book he wrote, Penetration. Did you by chance read that book? And if so, what were your opinions on that, Dean?
Yeah, Ingo actually talked about that before he wrote the book. So I'm familiar with the episodes, and it's very difficult to know what to do with those stories. I mean, he is verifiably an extremely good psychic, but he was talking about stuff that sounded ridiculous because among other things, there's no way to verify those stories.
Let me interrupt you here, and we'll continue in our next segment. Dean Radin, author of Real Magic with Michael Allen and Don Ecker. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.